Don't you love a movie or a story with a good plot twist? I still remember the first time I read Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, and I got towards the end. I'm not giving away, but to read about Sirius, Remus, and then Scabbers, it made me see the whole book in a whole new light. You know, the classic one about the Sixth Sense, right? What's some other plot twisty movies or books you enjoy? This is your chance to speak up, by the way. Since we're all going to cover this, since John isn't here today. From Dusk Till Dawn, what else? Final Destination 5, Isaac says. What did you say? Knives Out. Yeah, I need to see it. Anything else? Gone Girl. I had that written down, actually, yes. One of the old classic ones, Planet of the Apes, right? Where they realize, oh, we're just on Earth, but sometime in the future. Our story today, the parable that Jesus tells us, has a plot twist as well. But the story is so familiar to us. We're so comfortable with this story. In fact, the word Samaritan has become so synonymous with a do-gooder in our society that we miss the plot twist in the story. I'll get to it in just a moment. But first, just unpacking the story at the very beginning. You get this teacher who, in some ways, I think gets a bad rap by Luke in the story. I kind of identify with the teacher. The teacher, or the lawyer here, not the teacher, the lawyer here, he's asking questions of Jesus. You know, Luke does say, and he's trying to, wanting to justify himself, he says. You know, who is my neighbor? I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing, what the lawyer is doing. I don't know about you, but for me, I get a lot of comfort and security in knowing boundaries and rules and what comes next. I get a lot, thank you, yes, I get a lot of security knowing that if I do A, B, and C, D is the expected result. Now, unfortunately for me, that means I'm thinking if I do A, B, and C, then D is always going to happen. It's very easy for me, I don't know about you, it's very easy for me to turn my relationship with God into a magic parlor trick that if I do the same thing over and over, I'm always going to get the same result. Particularly in interpersonal relations. If I do A, B, and C, then people are always going to like me. My biggest fear is that people are going to see me for who I am and really not like who I am. That people are going to look inside me and go, you know, that Kevin Walker is really not what we thought he was, and we appreciate all the time you've had here at Blakemore, but you need to leave now. That if you really got to know who I am, that you really wouldn't care for me. And so I will do A, B, C, and D because I really want to make people happy and I don't want people to be disappointed in me. So I kind of get where the lawyer is coming from here. I wonder if he's really trying to figure out what is the boundaries. He's seeing what Jesus is doing and this is different and it's kind of shaking things up and he's wanting to be a part of what Jesus is about. But I think there's a genuine question, but well, then who is my neighbor? So then Jesus gets into the story. You know, he's saying there's a man going down from Jericho to Jerusalem. You get the priest of Levi. And then the Samaritan comes up. And here's the part I don't think we quite get. I mean, the Samaritan is so sanitized now. But in Jesus, we call this the parable of a good Samaritan. But in Jesus' day, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. That was inconceivable to the readers and the hearers of this particular parable. A Samaritan was socially outcast, ceremonially unclean, and a religious heretic. Someone who just wasn't a part of the community. There wasn't any, you couldn't fathom of something good. Now, I think what makes it difficult today is the whole idea of who is socially outcasts, who's ceremonially unclean, who's a religious heretic. It's all dependent on the community that you're a part of. If you're at Westboro Baptist Church, it's pretty clear that the heretic, the ceremonially unclean, is the gays and lesbians out there, right? If you're a part of a particularly progressive or liberal group, it might be someone on the more extreme right-wing side of things that is on the outcast side of things. I think the definition of who's the social outcast is all community dependent, right? If we might catch it like if the Samaritan was a member of Al-Qaeda that then sees the person in need and then picks them up and bandages the wounds. I think there is something about being a neighbor here that's dependent on both sides of the street here. You know, if it's one thing for the Samaritan to take the action, it's the other thing for the person lying there to receive the grace that the Samaritan's giving. If I'm hurt, I'll be honest. If I'm hurt and lying by the side of the road, my willingness to experience grace from someone is going to be different if that person is wearing a MAGA hat or not. That's my truth. That I have judgments and definitions about who people are based on outward appearances. I don't know about you. I'm sure everyone in here is in a zen-like state of acceptance of all people. Maybe I'm the only one that struggles with judgmentalism. Maybe I'm the only one that won't spend $1 or $2 on the contributor because the guy selling it doesn't look homeless enough. You know, but there's something there about there has to be a willingness to accept the grace from the person that's coming when that person doesn't fit within the community and the definitions I think of the person who should be inside the group is. That's a challenge to me. That's a challenge Jesus is giving to his disciples. That's a challenge he's giving to the lawyer here. That if you're hurting, if you're laying there on the side of the road, someone's coming to help you. May not necessarily be the good religious folk, the people inside the circle. It might be someone outside the circle that doesn't quite fit our definition. I remember being amazed at the response to the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. I don't know if you saw this story, but within hours or a day of that synagogue shooting, the Muslim community, the people on the outside, set up a GoFundMe account to raise money for the victims of those shootings. And they raised somewhere around $200,000 from their community. Not only that, I think this was in New York as well, they showed up at synagogue to provide protection for Jewish folk going to worship on Sabbath. Those are the people outside the circle showing up to be an extension of God's grace and God's love in that moment. I have to be willing to accept. At the same time, I have to be willing to give. You know, I heard it this week on the radio talking about with the tornado response, and there was a lot of truth to this, that there was not, in people's response to neighbors, there wasn't any testing to see what political party this person was from or who did this person vote for or what is this person's sexuality. It was just simply people showing up and helping. I mean, there was a time in our history, and I say Christian history, that a Catholic helping a Protestant would have been anathema, or a Protestant helping a Catholic. Think about what happened in Ireland. Jesus is here challenging us to be extensions of God's grace, regardless of who the person is. Now, here's the twist in the story. So, what does the lawyer ask? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells this whole parable, right? And then what does Jesus say at the end? What's his question? Like a good teacher, you know, the guy says, who's my neighbor? Jesus tells a parable, and the question is, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? So the twist in the story is this. Jesus never defines who the neighbor is. He never tells the lawyer, this man is your neighbor, this man is your neighbor, this man is your neighbor. Because once you define who your neighbor is, you suddenly define who your neighbor isn't. He never defines who the neighbor is. Instead, what he challenges the lawyer to do is to live and act and witness to God's grace in a neighborly manner every day of his life. He doesn't tell the man who is the neighbor. He encourages the person, he encourages the lawyer to be a vessel for God's grace and God's goodness by being neighborly and doing neighborly actions. He never says who the neighbor is. He tells us how to be neighborly. How can I be a neighbor to others is the question where Jesus challenges us to ask. Now, we always are like the lawyer, wanting to go, well, who's in and who's out? Who's the neighbor? But Jesus' response and his call to us is to figure out how to take neighborly actions. You know, one of the Mr. Rogers has been having a renaissance because of the Tom Hanks movie, and I'm sure you know the story. One of the great stories is in 1968 when Fred Rogers washes the feet of Officer Clemens, right? And we get the profound social, political significance of that. That is 1968, predominantly white police officers have been terrorizing African Americans in the South, and here is a black police officer, and Fred Rogers crosses the line and touches his skin, washes his feet. But what no one knew at the time was not only was Officer Clemens black, which everyone could see, but Officer Clemens was also gay. And Fred Rogers knew this. And he still washed the man's feet. His profound act of love and grace and neighborliness was a witness that there is a different way we can live in this world. And Jesus is calling us to this. There is a different way to be politics. And politics is simply how we treat and love and express community to one another. There's a different way of doing this. We don't have to do it in terms of one up, one down. We have to do it in terms of winners and losers. You can do community. You can do politics. You can have a life, a culture and a community in which we give and love and serve one another, in which we can be vessels for God's goodness in a situation, and that which in turn, when we need it, we can be recipients of that. And how does the God do this? How does this move happen? Well, the priests and the Levites see him and walk him by, but the Samaritan says he was moved with pity. And the very next statement, after he's moved with pity, he went to him. In today's online social media world, it's easy to create memes and to shout on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. It's really easy to do that stuff and decry injustice. What's harder is to actually do what the Samaritan did, is not just to feel it, but to get moved into action, to take the step of stepping out there and assisting and helping. And one thing I'm particularly proud of Blakemore is, that is something that's a hallmark of who we are. We even make it a value. We value our neighbors from West End to Uganda. I mean, this church, there's less than 100 people here, right? I don't know, except maybe on an Easter Sunday where we have 100 people. But how many, 5, 6 years ago when we went to Raise the Roof for the first time, we wanted to build a one-room schoolhouse, one-room classroom for Raise the Roof Academy. Through the work of this church and engaging with others and leading the effort to get other people on board, we surpassed that. We didn't build one room or two rooms. We built 5 classrooms because of the work that this church did. Because this church was willing to see people in need and step out and serve. When we do worship without walls, we're willing to step out of this place, regardless of what we have, and serve the greater community. Serving others, it's just the air we breathe in this congregation. And if anything particularly identifies the people of Blakemore, it is that willingness to love and to serve, regardless of who's out there. In that respect, that's why I come here, and I don't know about you, because I need to be reminded of those actions. I need to see people showing up and serving people, because that bears witness that there's a different way to live in this world. There's a different way beyond judging people or trying to get people's attention. There's a different way of being in this world, and you guys embody that. You guys live it because this community believes that the gospel is a different way of being and living in this world.